Bucky Bacall here with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. In past episodes, I've discussed eggs quite a bit. I won't deny that fresh eggs are in the forefront of most people's minds when they consider the idea of backyard hens. But eggs are only one of the many great reasons that everyone should sign on to the Bucky Bacall agenda of a few chickens in every outdoor space where it's legal. And surprisingly, that's pretty much everywhere, including suburbia and most big busy cities. The truth is, even if you never eat an egg, sharing your properties with chickens will provide very effective bug control without the use of toxic pesticides, will supercharge your garden with a compost and fertilizer program beyond comparison, and will change your entire view of the concept of pet or companion animals with their charming manners, work ethic, and entertaining personalities. Still, for most of us, whether considering chickening or already with flock, it always comes back to the fresh eggs. Heck, I hadn't eaten an egg for 4 years before I adopted two chicks to eat the earwigs out of my garden, and now, I gotta admit, I'm just a tad egg-obsessed. In one episode, I outlined the difference between factory farm eggs, produced by chickens kept in deplorable conditions, proven in several studies to contain less nutrients than eggs laid by non-factory chickens, and tasting odious. Eggs from the supermarket, with a free-range label which are raised under virtually the same conditions, except with a small door in the factory leading to a couple square feet of outdoor pen, and containing little to no more nutrition or flavor than factory eggs, and the delightful eggs from a backyard small flock of pre-industrial farm-style chickens. On another episode, I dispelled some myths about the egg-laying process and explained how simple it is to provide a small flock of hens the proper conditions for laying eggs. For links and more info on some of the topics I discussed in those episodes, follow the link on the Bucky page at sagebrushvariety.org. But before I move on to other backyard chicken subjects, I'm going to discuss the topic that was most important to me when I started out as a chicken enthusiast. How to be sure you're being kind to your egg-laying hens. A nice gesture is to provide your hens with a nest box, any chicken-sized box with a little bedding in it, placed in a secure spot in the chicken coop, or somewhere that's not too much trouble to get to, but where they also feel safe from predators while they're trying to lay. Realize still, a lot of chickens will pick their own spot. My chickens have approved of my nests from time to time, but they've also made nests in a half-empty plastic bag of shredded pine chips I left near the kitchen door, a cat carrier with its door broken off, which stray cats were using as a night hotel, and atop an old washing machine I didn't take to the dump right away. And whether they choose your suggested nest or a more creative option, some or all of them will pick the same nest, and there's going to be some argumentative clucking going on. Let them work that out. The soft-hearted beginner, like me when I adopted my first chicks, may worry whether it will upset the chickens when we take their eggs. My experience, and what I've heard from other chickeners, is that most hens don't usually seem to miss their eggs, with some variation according to breed and individual personality. A typical hen will leave her nest soon after she finishes laying an egg. Some make a victory call that sounds almost like a rooster crowing, and then go about her other hen business, without seeming to think about it again, and never noticing when it disappears. However, some chickens will poke around looking for their egg, making a fuss, and some will keep on starting new nests in an apparent effort to fool you. A common way of sparing a hen like that anxiety, and keeping them from re-nesting, is to use a nest egg. Nowadays, we think of a nest egg as a little bit of money tucked away, kind of like a retirement fund. But the term originated with the practice of putting a round egg-sized stone or piece of carved wood or other material in the nest to fool an egg-protective hen. Kinda like the way these new deferred tax thingamajiggies are supposed to make you feel okay about the government taking away your social security. The first time a chicken laid an egg in my backyard, earlier than I'd expected her to, I hopped on my bicycle and raced to the nearest knick-knack store to find a believable substitute. The only thing I could find was an alabaster egg that was at least 3 times the size of a so-called jumbo egg. I feared she wouldn't accept it, but she adored that alabaster egg. Absolutely could care less about her own eggs, but if for any reason her alabaster egg went missing, she'd search the yard, complaining bitterly. Eventually, we got even more chickens, and it turns out every one of them loves the big alabaster egg. One of our flock is a Seabright, one of the three smallest breeds of all time, and can barely fit over it, yet they all compete over the nest with the alabaster egg. I've attempted to find other substitutes, so they won't fight over that one, but every plastic, wood, or rock I've tried has been met with utter disdain. Ever so often, a hen's hormones will kick in to a degree that compels her to try to hatch as many eggs as she is sitting on at the time. That's what's called a broody hen. Broody hens are more likely to get upset if you remove the egg or eggs they're trying to hatch. Some breeds or individuals never get broody, and some are broodier than others. But from what I've seen and heard, the nest egg continues to be an acceptable substitute, at least psychologically. All three of my hens have attempted to hatch the emu-sized alabaster egg. Obviously, a chicken doesn't know that not only an egg fertilized by a rooster will ever hatch. When a chicken is trying to hatch an egg, they stay on that egg almost constantly. Every day, at some point, they'll get up to stretch, eat a whole bunch of grain, drink a lot of water, and make a really large poop. Then they settle back in on their nest. Eventually, they'll give up on an egg, go back to their normal routine, and start laying again after about a week. One of the hens in the bacaw flock makes me worry she's going to starve herself. After a while, I remove her fake egg, and after a day or two, she goes back to her normal routine. This does seem to cause her a day or two of distress, but it saves her from starving herself. And in the end, I can tell she's relieved to have the whole chemical imbalance of broodiness over and done with. One of my favorite topics is the many ways chickens know how to communicate. With each other, with other critters, and with humans. You don't need to be a hen whisperer to tell the difference between a stressed out chicken and a happy chicken. I'm certain the flock in my yard has less stress in their lives than the vast majority of domesticated or wild animals I've ever met, humans included. I do my part to help them live a stress-free life, but it helps that their needs are so straightforward. In return, they've helped feed me and improved my outlook. I'll discuss this in detail on a future show. For the Backyard Chicken Broadcast, I'm Bucky Bacall. I had a good time. Bucky Bacall's Backyard Chicken Broadcast was produced by the Sagebrush Variety Show with support from Boise Community Radio and the Green Institute.